demonstrations tonight. Some of you fellows will help me. A couple of them anyhow. One in particular. You got a lovely voice. I want you to read Psalm 1 for me. Psalm 1. You want to read your Bible? You want it the big print Bible. Can you manage with yours? All right. Here's the mic. Stand up so folk can hear you, all right?
The whole Psalm 1?
What? Huh?
The whole Psalm 1?
Yeah, it ain't long. It's not long.
Can't read it. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in the season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish.
Wonderful. Give him a hand. That was wonderfully read. Yeah. Beautifully done. Got a good, nice, strong voice. I hope the Lord got a hold of you one of these days and you become a preacher for the glory. I'm serious about that. I'm not joking. It's really good to see our young people out like this, and thank you for helping me. I really appreciate that. And the print of that Bible is so small, I don't know how you could see it. And Brother Freddie preached on Psalm 1 not too long ago. He had some beautiful points on it. I was looking for them. You couldn't find them. But there's three main things in the Psalm you need to remember. Of course, the Lord is speaking about associations, fellowshipping, light with darkness, or the Christian with the non-Christian. Not necessarily all non-Christians. You know, it's one word in the Psalm that's very outstanding about the sinner. It calls him the what? The ungodly. Now, you know, I know a lot of non-Christians who are you wouldn't call ungodly. They're not saved. I don't want you to misunderstand me. But some of them toe the line. They don't lie. They don't cheat. They're wonderful, outstanding citizens. They don't worship idols. And then, of course, in David's day, there were so many that were given to idolatry who were worshiping idols and a lot of other awful things they were doing. They were offering babies to their idols, burning them alive. Now, that's ungodliness. And we could go on and on talking about ungodliness. So what we've got in the Psalm is we're not to, number one, to walk with the ungodly. There are many, many wonderful reasons for that. Now, I know a lot of people say, well, I'm strong enough, I can help them, I could do this and I could do that. Well, maybe you help to a degree, but walking with them is a dangerous thing. Let me get Clarence. I always call him Terrence, but it's Clarence, right? You want to help me tonight? You come out here, please. And I want you go to just take the tub up there with you, right up here, okay? I used it years ago. Somebody else used it since. Now, Clarence, you get in the tub. You're going to help those around you that are not unsaved. Let's say the ungodly, okay? Let's assume that the tub is the ungodly, and you're a nice, fine Christian, okay? Lift yourself up. No, don't. Got two handles on it. Maybe it's a little better. Go ahead, pull, lift. But you're going to help the ungodly, right? That's what they, you know, I'm going to be a help to them. Same thing is true in marriage, you know. A fellow might marry an unsaved girl. Says, I'm going to try and win her for the Lord. Go ahead, try to lift it again. What happens in the marriage? It's very difficult, isn't it? Well, that's just one demonstration, Clarence. Thanks a lot. And so, you know, God in his wisdom, who knows everything, he knows that we are limited, and he knows that if you walk, with the ungodly, and you got good motives, good intentions. Now, I want to point out one thing. It doesn't mean that you're never going to be mixed with the unsaved people in life. Jesus said, if that was so, you'd have to go out of the world. But he did stress one thing, as well as John in his epistle, that we are, as Christians, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. Okay? That's very important. We're in the world, and Jesus would say, he did say, but we're not of the world. We pray the Father would keep us. Now, this is just a simple little illustration. I'm going to give two words, and you all know what those two words are. Let's say 11 and under. No prompting by the parent this time, okay? No prompting by the parents. Here's an electrical wire. And what would you call this part that's over the wire? 11 and under, first of all. If they don't know, we'll increase the age. Please do not tell your child. It would spoil the lesson in a sense. What is this part that covers this electrical wire? Or the two of them together like this. You might have bigger wire, and you got the same thing over it. What would you call that? One word. One word. All right, 12 and under. 12 and under. 13 and under. I thought we'd have it by then. 14 and under. You're going to be an electrician. You'll know what it is. This outer part that covers the raw wire. One word. I know it's made out of rubber, hard rubber, but it's a name for it. 15. 16. Ross is dying to give the answer. 17. 18. 19. 20. 100 and under. You get that? It's insulation. All right. Remember what you read? That his delight is in what? The law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. To insulate this wire is a very important reason. If you had the two wires together, if the wire was raw, that's why a lot of homes are burned down, because the insulation wears out, or the wires get too hot, and they get too close together, and create the fire, and fire creates destruction. Lives are lost, buildings are destroyed, because there's poor, what? Insulation. Say the word, fellas, so you remember. Insulation. Okay, big word, eh? But that's what that is. By being properly insulated, you prevent the things that I mentioned, the destruction. Now, how can we as Christians be insulated? Now, you know what the answer to that. It's in the Psalm. How can we be insulated? I just quoted a little while ago. His delight is in what? The Word of God, right. And our reading of the Word of God. We had songs about the Word of God tonight. We had choruses about the Word of God tonight. Very, very important. Now, we also have the Spirit of the Lord in us, which also gives us the power of insulation. So, again, we're in the world, but we're well insulated. But we're not of the world, okay? I hope I'm making this very plain, because for me this is a very important point. Like Jesus said, you'd have to go out of the world then. We're in it, and we go to school. We have unconverted people in school, students, and many schools, by the way, in the world, I tell you, it's tough to send your children to because of many, many problems that exist. And, of course, we work. Our fishermen go away on boats sometimes with mixed groups, and it's very, very hard maybe sometimes. But if they're well insulated, they will guard you against walking with them. Now, we have something that's normal. Boys like to be with gang boys of their age set. That's typical. A lot of people think it's wrong and it's bad. But that's part of the makeup of children. Now, here in Spinal's Wells, the gang life starts a little younger than many parts were that I'm familiar with. And so sometimes a gang may start at age 10, 11, and 12. 14-year-olds don't want to mix with 11-year-olds. They're too young. And so you might get about 8 or 9 boys, or what they call the gang period in their life. Really, that's not bad. What's bad is when some of the gang are not insulated. They want to do things that's wrong, because wrong gives them a thrill. Pulling 55-gallon drum barrels out in the highway, emptying the garbage all over the street. It's wrong, but it gives them a thrill to do that. They think they're being big, but really they're not. And they're not, well, insulated. Maybe they're not even saved. But as the gang gets older, it becomes a little more serious. Because in the gang, there are all kinds of enticements, temptations, and here again, you've got some Christians and some are not Christians. So here's another word. I mentioned it already. What are we to do in life? Isolate ourselves? See, that's why it's all by itself. Isolation. The Christian can't be by himself either. But he can't really afford to mix with those who are not insulated, who are not Christians. Especially when you know that they're prone to do wrong, not to do the things that are right and pleasing before God and contrary to what you believe. And it interferes with your behavior as a Christian. And so it's difficult to be isolated. I don't believe that the Bible teaches isolation. Like Jesus said again, and what John said, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. You know, there are some people in the world who, I have to be careful here because I hope they died out by now. I'm not going to tell you where, I'm not going to tell you what, or who they belong to, anything. But they don't even allow their children to eat meals with them because they're not saved. Now that's taking isolation to the extreme. That's not scriptural at all. In fact, it's ridiculous. And you're not bothered with that in the Bahamas. Don't even worry about it, okay? But isolation is not what the Bible teaches. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Can two walk together except to be agreed? Now we come to another point. Unity is very important. Walking together, agreeing together. Our families, husband and wife, if they want to be happy, naturally they must walk in agreement, okay? Now there's a wonderful thing about these wires. When, as a Christian now, that we're in tune with the Lord, you got what they call a negative and a positive, okay? And when these wires are hooked up to your switch and the power is coming through the wires, all you do is pull that switch on, makes the connection, and bang, power puts on your lights. Isn't that wonderful? So it's useful. I use it as an illustration. So it's useful even as a Christian to realize this, that with the Lord, all things are possible. With Him, there's a power that will be in our life to help us and warding, of course, us against temptations. So you walk with the world, and then David says, then you find them what doing? Second step, standing. Oh, I'm strong. I won't be enticed. I won't be tempted. Next thing you do, you're standing now. You're standing with them, you see? These are the people, of course, that are going to lead you down the wrong path. These are those who are going to tempt you and ruin your life. And then what is the next step? There's 3 steps. You walk with them, you stand with them, and then what? You sit with them. And what's happened is that you've been thought of conquered, you've been captured, and you give in. and your life is ruined. Well, I hope I didn't confuse you too much with that illustration, but it's very important. This is one we used some time ago. All right. Gideon, you're strong. Come up. You come up and tie this for me, if you don't mind. Put your hands together. Okay. Tie that for me like a nice boy. Let me give you enough thread here. Tie it. One or two knots. Just make sure it's secure. No, one strand. One at a time. We'll come to that office, okay? Boy, you can put a bolster on this thing. Man, it's a seaming already. Not too tight now. Right. Not too tight. All right. Let's assume now that one strand is maybe his first cigarette. Stay right there. I need your help, T. Or first marijuana cigarette. Or first strong drink. Or first immoral act. And, he's not going to be worried about it. When you walk with him, when you stand with him, when you sit with him, go ahead, get in, pop it. Wonderful, eh? Strong man. Don't go in through with you yet. You got to have your second cigarette. You know what I'm getting at, don't you? Sure. Here, I'll put a couple of strands around his wrist again and tie it for me like a nice boy. That's really wrap it around many times as you can. They said save time, all right? Because time is gone. Go ahead. Tie one knot. Give one knot. All right. Go ahead. Tie one. Oh, you can go around. Don't hurt him now. Not too tight, okay? Not too tight. Tie it. Just tie it so it won't come loose. Good boy. Good boy. All right, get in. What we're going to do is put you around a little more. See, you know, I don't want you to hurt yourself, okay? But you see what happens? You do it once. You're going to do it more times, whatever it is you're tempted to do. And, I don't know, this is weak thread, really. He might be able to pop it, but I doubt it very much. So after you do it several times, it gets a little harder, right? Go ahead. Don't hurt yourself. Don't hurt yourself, because the thread might cut you. You can't do it. The lesson, of course, step aside so you can see. The lesson, of course, is, oh, yeah, the first time, no problem. Pa! I can handle it, you know? But then the second time, the third time, the fourth time, later on you discover that you're addicted. And by the way, there are people who are addicted. You mustn't despise them. Hold it for me, please. You mustn't despise them. We should pray for them. We should love them. And because they have a problem, when they started off, they never thought it would develop into a problem. Now they have a problem, and we need to help them. We pray for them all of the time. You should hear the names in the prayer meeting on the Saturday morning that the brethren call in our island. They don't despise, and they try to help, and they pray quite a bit. And so Jesus shed his blood, and he comes along. And he snaps the chains that bind. Isn't it wonderful, Gideon? Don't that feel better? Look at that man. He's almost cut to his skin. Oh, my. I was hoping you'd have a long sleeve shirt on tonight. Thank you so much, fellas. You've been a real sport. And, that's what happens, though, with sin. Christ comes. He died on the cross. And he breaks the chains that bind. Aren't you glad that you're a Christian tonight? When I see folks who are addicted, I say, there go I. But for the grace of God. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. The ungodly are not so. We're like the tree. Our roots grow deep, and we flourish, and we're productive. But the ungodly, they're like the chaff that blows, the wind bloweth away, and you see them no more. It's sad to say, if unless they repent, one of these days they will be in judgment, and, sad when you think of it. Oh, may we learn the lesson. So, fellas, don't think you're so strong that you can give in to temptation. You're at an age bracket now, and I look at you, and I love you, and I just speak like this tonight because we want to warn you. Don't give in to the devil. Don't listen to him, all right? I see sometimes some things, and I'm not going to be judgmental. But we've got fellas, people in the land who come over from the land who will entice you. You know what they'll say? It'll start like this. Man, you want to get a real high tonight? Just one joint. No way. Listen, only take it one time. That's all. You don't have to buy it. Free. And it let me tell you, it is true. You do get a high. All right? After you have that first puff or so of that marijuana, you do feel good. But then next time you want to have a little more. But you're not going to get the same high you had the first time you tried it. And later on, the third, the fourth, and the fifth, and it goes on like that. And you take more, and then after a while, marijuana gives you a little high, but it's not enough. So what do? Somebody comes along, may give you a pill, or they may give you coke. You snort a coke or whatever, crack or whatever form they want to sell you now. They're not going to give it to you now. You got to pay. And you got to pay plenty. You see, you're addicted. And you're hooked. And I speak like this in love because I want to just warn you. Remember the first thread you tied on Gideon's wrist? By the way, it's hurting him now. That's what these things will do too. It'll hurt you. Let me look at you. Oh boy, put some cream on it tonight. Mommy going to fuss me out tonight. I can see that. Well, if it'll be a help, and I'm sure it will in the lives of our young people, it's worth it, you know. Yeah, perhaps we tied a little too tight. Let's just bow in for prayer, all right? Father, we thank you for our young people. We thank you for their interest in the Word of God. We thank you for the way that they have listened. And we realize, oh God, that only you can give the strength and the power. And our Lord Jesus came into the world not to condemn the world. He didn't come to condemn the dope addict or the drunkard or the immoral. He came to save them. And we thank you for this. And it is our prayer, Lord, should there be any in our meeting tonight, that by your grace and your goodness, they'll understand that Jesus is the answer. Oh, God, protect our young people. Place your hand upon them, that they will not only give their lives to you, but that they will be well insulated, so that there'll be no destructive measures in their life. Oh, God, it's our prayer. Keep them day by day. And remember those that are out in the world tonight. They used to come to church. They used to listen to the Word of God. They used to frequent the youth meetings. But we can't find them now. Wherever they are, Lord, speak to their hearts. Show them their need of Christ. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.